Our scripture today is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, the fourth chapter, the first two verses. Paul is talking about what it means to be an apostle, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So, hear the word of God. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, right here, for the first time, the mysteries of God explained. Today, you will leave this sanctuary with the secrets of time and eternity revealed. It's your lucky day, friends, because you are about to experience the meaning of life disclosed. What a great opportunity awaits you. I am about to clue you in. Clue, get it? God has left us clues. And today, I, all rolled into one, Inspector Poirot, Miss Marple, the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Mike Hammer, Perry Mason, Brother Cadfell, Jessica Fletcher, Monk, and all those strange people on the CSI programs. All rolled into one, I'm going to take those clues, I'm going to detect the hidden pattern and design, and explain it all to you. And I'm going to do it not in the 46 minutes that they need on those CSI programs. I'm going to do it in 16 or less if I talk fast. But of course, the mysteries of God are not like that. They're not like that. They're not the kind of mystery that gets solved detective style. The mysteries of God are not like an Agatha Christie novel, which can be read and savored, but ultimately is finished and done. The butler did it. Or, more cleverly, as in Murder on the Orient Express, everybody did it. Sorry, I gave that one away. Mysteries of God are not like that. Notice Paul does not tell people that we are to be solvers of the mysteries of God, not explainers of the mysteries of God, not even revealers of the mysteries of God. Instead, we are stewards, caretakers, keepers of the mysteries of God. Much as you care for a living thing, we are to care for the mysteries of God. They are now and will remain mysteries. So we care for them. We keep them close to our heart. As one bumper sticker once said, life is not a problem to be solved. Life is a mystery to be lived. We are the stewards of a mystery that is meant to be lived. It's not as though our faith, once understood, can be checked off the list. Okay, got faith covered. Now let's move on to hobbies, or maybe I'll try another second vocation or something. It's not as though our faith, once mastered, can be set aside and we move on to try to master fly fishing or pottery making or something. Faith in God leads us to the mysteries of God and asks us not to master them, but rather to care for them, to keep them. And so let them inform our lives, shape our lives, illuminate our lives. As in every age and stage of life, God has some new truth to share with us. God has some new story to tell us. God has some new facet of the mystery of life that's just waiting to be discovered. But always, always there is more. Not long ago, I was talking with someone who's been married for a long time. And her husband of several decades had said to her, "You know, I just don't know what makes you tick." She looked actually delighted as she reported this to me. And you know, I took his words not as a sign of marital exasperation, which does happen, of course, but I took his words more as a sign of the mystery of every human being that can be experienced in every relationship, with a husband, a wife, with a son or daughter, a father or mother, a brother or sister, certainly with a friend. While we can know more and more of a person as a relationship deepens over time, there's always more to discover. There's always something that remains elusive, if for no other reason than that other person is always evolving and changing. One of my favorite counselors, okay, it's Greg Dana, our own Greg Dana. I once heard him say, "I make it a practice to remain curious about my wife." I think that's a great line. I make it a practice to remain curious about my wife. That's good marriage advice. It's good advice for any relationship that you care about, to maintain an attitude of discovery about the other person, to maintain an openness that maybe I don't understand where what she just said is coming from. Even an attitude of wonder that you might even call being a steward of the mystery of that other person, a steward of the mystery of your wife, your husband, your friend. You're a steward. Think of yourself as a steward of the mystery of God to be found in another human being. I just learned in the prayers, as you did, of the loss of one of our church members, Bob Roth, who, because of his illness, lived a difficult life and yet was a wonderfully good man. And that, of course, raises the mysteries of death and the promise of our faith that somehow, death is not the last word, but there is more to be revealed, more to be discovered. That the mysteries of life are indeed just that, mysteries of life. And that's that mystery we'll be claiming for Bob in these next days. And that mystery makes me think of baptism, about how God's hand and mark is upon us in the waters of baptism from the very beginning until at last we go home to be with God. Today we lifted up a young child, Isaac Hobson Fine. I poured water on his head, a lot of water. Maybe it's just water. It is just water. It's water that came from the sink right out there in Fellowship Hall. But maybe it's more. The mysteries of God would tell us it's more. Maybe in pouring water on Isaac's head, we were drenching him with life. We were soaking him in the Spirit of the living God. We are marking him invisibly and yet indelibly as a child of God. Just saying that is only the beginning. It's not a mystery solved. It's a mystery that will need to be lived, and Isaac will live it. And to say Isaac is a child of God says it all, and yet at the same time, it only scratches the surface. Where will this life take him? What kind of character will be shaped by his parents and his family, the people he encounters along life's way? What will he do with the years that stretch out before him? How will the Spirit of God nurture and encourage and challenge him along life's way? How will Isaac live into his identity as a child of God? Who knows? Right now, Amanda and Michael are stewards of the little mystery that they hold in their arms. One day, Isaac will be steward of his own mystery, the mystery of his own life. And all the while, he will not just be his own mystery, he'll be one of God's mysteries too, just as all of us are God's mysteries. In baptism, we claim Isaac's life as a gift from God, but what lies ahead is not a problem to be solved. There will be little problems along the way. But his life is not a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived and celebrated. One can go on and on. Not long ago, someone told me that the Bible didn't mean much to them. It was just a bunch of stories that anyone could have written. And, you know, there were some good teachings, some good morals in there. And once you pull those out, you could pretty much dispense with the rest of it. I thought he was partly right. The Bible is just a bunch of stories. But it's not as though you can extract the moral and leave the rest behind. The radical claim of the Bible is that there's a living presence, a Holy Spirit to be encountered in those stories. And that you and I can experience that living presence. We can experience the Spirit now in our lives. And how do we do that? How do you experience that presence that I would also call a mystery of the living God? Well, it's very often a story. Maybe a story in the Bible, almost always a story in our own lives, and usually if we're paying any attention at all, those two stories are connected. The biblical story and our story. We've been reading through the Sermon on the Mount the last few Sundays in church. Those challenging words of Jesus. And among them were those, another of God's mysteries, that we're to love our enemies and bless those who persecute us. And just the other day, I experienced that living presence of the Spirit across my computer screen when this story came across about a football game played in Texas. And of course, there are thousands of high school football games played in Texas every year. But this was about a football team called the Gainesville State High School, which sounds normal, except it's a little different. It's located in a prison for youth, a correctional facility. The Gainesville State team has 14 players. They play all their games on the road. They use leftover shoulder pads and helmets. No one comes to their games. Sometimes they are just too far from home, and sometimes their families have disowned them. Coming into the last game of the year, they were 0-8. They had scored twice all year. Well, they arrived for their last away game of the year at Grapevine Faith Academy, a private Dallas area high school. They drove up in their bus, were surprised to look out at the field and see that the home team stands were about half full and the visiting team stands were half full. They were surprised to discover a spirit line of parents and students stretching from their bus out to the field. They were surprised to see a banner at the end of the spirit line for them to run through that had their team's name on it, the Tornadoes. And so they ran out onto the field and began playing the game, and their surprise continued as the people who were sitting behind them in their stands, who were quite clearly parents and fans of the other team, they were cheering for the Tornadoes, sometimes even calling the players by name. They wondered what was going on, and no wonder. No wonder. Well, here's what was going on. Chris Hogan, the coach of the Faith Academy team, knew the story, knew that the Gainesville team would have no fans there, and that knew that it would be no contest, the game itself. And so he thought, what if half our fans and half of our cheerleaders for one night only cheer for the other team? And he sent an email out to all of the faithful followers of his team and asked them to do just that. And he wrote in the email, he said, here's the message I want you to send to these kids, that you are just as valuable as any other person on the planet. Some of the folks were confused, thought he was crazy. One player said, coach, why are you doing this? And the coach said, well, imagine that you don't have a home life. No one to love you. No one pulling for you. Imagine that everyone had pretty much given up on you. Now imagine what it would feel like and mean for you if hundreds of people were suddenly believing in you. It's worth watching the YouTube video. It's a good investment of 6 minutes and 29 seconds to hear the response of some of the players for Gainesville State. They lost 33-14. But after the game, players from both teams and fans as well gathered at the 50-yard line to say the Lord's Prayer together. And Isaiah, the quarterback for the Gainesville team from the correctional center, he asked to speak. He said, I never in my life thought I would hear parents cheering for us to tackle their kids. Most of the time when we come out, people are afraid of us. You can see it in their eyes, but these people were cheering for us. They knew our names. And then there on the 50-yard line, when he asked to speak, this is the prayer that Isaiah, the quarterback, offered. Lord, I don't know what just happened, so I don't know how or who to say thank you to. But I never knew there were so many people in the world who cared about us. I can't tell you who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But I won't forget this story. I could go on, the mysteries of God being endless as they are. But let's leave it there with the greatest mystery, the mystery that underlies all the rest, the mystery of God's love, that every once in a while gets fleshed out in a way that all of us can see it. Pray with me. Gracious God, make us stewards, trustworthy stewards of your mysteries. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.